Thank you for praising the Lord with us. I have a few things in my heart this morning. The first one, I'm not going to be up here to twist your arms. I don't like to do that. But I'm just going to ask you to do one thing, because I believe that that's what is needed. Nominating committee is meeting. We work as a team. The body is a team. We're here for one purpose, and it's for ministry. I want you to do one thing as individuals. Pray. That's all I'm going to say. Second thing that's in my heart. I've been wanting to read this all week with the group that's been coming with the 40 days of prayer. But I held off to read it here so you would be able to hear it also. It says, there are certain conditions upon which we may expect that God will hear and answer our prayers. One of the first of these is that we feel our need of help from Him. He has promised, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who long after God, may be sure that they will be filled. There is no more satisfying drink than to drink water when you're really, really thirsty. When we feel the need of the Holy Spirit to the point where we thirst for Him, we will be filled. When you start praying, things will begin to happen. When you start praying, your spiritual life will begin to grow. But when you start praying, the enemy will see you as a bigger target. And he will try to distract you from praying. And how does he do that? Number one, he'll go after family members. Number two, he'll go after your possessions. Has it ever happened to you where your car breaks down, your washing machine breaks down, your incinerator is clogged? I mean, all in the same week. And these are things that you have to get fixed. Take time. But in taking time to do that, you have to let go of other things. And if he can't get you through family, through material things, then he will attack you physically. Just look at Job. I've been hearing the prayer requests and the answers and what's happening with this group that's meeting. And I asked Robbie if she could come up and share something that has happened, that's been happening. It's really the struggle, the controversy, come on up, that happens when you begin to pray. Share with us.
Well, I'm really sad that Steve's not here because this is his testimony. And because he's not here, I'm sharing it by the grace of God. I will do it justice. Last Sabbath, the group For His Glory were in Florence. And on Sabbath, I didn't feel myself for one thing. It started out with me. And I was just struggling. I felt there was a darkness or something. And I was in church, and I just started reading my Bible, and I was able to have victory. And then Steve, you know how happy Steve is all the time, and he's always up and cheery, and he wasn't himself at all. And he didn't want to go on the hikes that we wanted to go on in the afternoon. He was just poo-pooing a lot of things. And it was a wonderful blessing that, you know, with the group singing and everything, and, you know, God really blessed, but he was definitely struggling. And then Sunday, kind of the same thing. There was just a heavy cloud over his heart. And we got home then later in the afternoon, and we were sitting there, and he got a call on his work phone. Well, he never answers his work phone on the weekend because he doesn't want to work on the weekend, which, you know, he shouldn't have to. So anyway, the phone rings, and he answers it. And it was the hospital calling. And they wanted a ride that afternoon for him to go out and do this ride. And he accepted it. And I'm sitting there in disbelief, knowing that Sunday night was the first meeting that we were going to be able to go to for the 40 days of prayer. And after he got off the phone, I said, "Why did you do that?" And he says to me, "What are you trying to do, be my Holy Spirit?" And because he didn't want to go, you know, and this is after the fact he shared these things. I just felt, you know, I was just in shock. I wanted him to go so badly. And I knew that both of us needed to go. We needed this so desperately. We needed the filling of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, he didn't like what I said because it made him feel guilty. And so we didn't really talk about it anymore. And, you know, I prayed, you know, that the Lord would change his heart. And then he came to me a little bit later and he says, "Well, one of our other guys can do it." Well, it all worked out where this ride was taken care of, so we didn't have to worry about it. So that was a big, huge praise and answer to prayer. So he comes to the meeting and he's really, really struggling and still has this dark cloud over him and not wanting to be here, to be honest. And the Lord, you know, when we're together as a group and we pray for the Holy Spirit, we ask for that, we're here for that purpose. And then we study about the Holy Spirit together. And God just removed that cloud and just gave him joy and peace in his heart. And not only just for that time, but it really changed him. One of the things that he confessed to the group was that, you know, he did all these good things. He sang in two groups, and he sang in the men's chorus, and he was an elder, and, you know, all of these good things that we do in the church. But what God had pointed out to him was that he was lukewarm. And he had voiced to me that he didn't want to be that. We had talked about that, you know. And here was an opportunity for him to come and meet and to be filled with the Holy Spirit with a group of people that are seeking the same. And Satan was trying to keep him from coming. And God does that to us. He'll put obstacles in the way. He'll discourage us so that there's darkness or whatever it is that he does most artfully and successfully a lot of times, unfortunately. But we need to pray that God will do his work in us and bring us here no matter what, because we need this. And there have been battles, and that was a battle that Steve fought, and there have been other battles that the people have fought, but there have been huge victories in each one of those. And we've shared our battles, and we prayed for one another, and we've encouraged one another, and it's just been, we've had ladies that have come with migraines, and the migraines go away, or they lessen immensely. I mean, just miracles. God is working, and he wants our church to be filled with his Spirit so we can go out and finish his work. So please come.
Amen. God wants to work in our hearts. The Holy Spirit wants to come into our hearts. And I was sharing with Steve that I knew exactly what he was going through. Because you can't pinpoint it. Where is it coming from? You can't, I told him, because I believe the same thing that happened to you 2 years ago, it happened to me. When you get up in the morning and you say, why do I have to get up? I don't want to get up. And yet I have to go in the office. Do the things I need to do. But what about if you want to do those things and yet you don't have any energy or just nothing and you just don't want to do it? And I'm thinking, I don't battle with depression. Our family has, my mom, my dad, no one has that stuff. Why am I feeling like I don't want to do anything? And I'm thinking, I hope this goes away before Sabbath. Well, no. You have to come up here, get up here, smile for you, and yet inside saying, I don't want to be here. I should not be here because my spirit is not here. That went on for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That is the spiritual battle that happens, and it will happen. We need to pray. If you truly, truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon, we need to pray. We need to uphold each other in prayer. It is time that we stop bickering amongst each other, that we start going back to what happened 10 years ago. It is time to come together as one body in Christ. If we don't, the the Holy Spirit will not descend upon this church in its full power. Oh, you'll see sprinklings of the Holy Spirit, but we want the power of the Holy Spirit. We want that same power that was felt in Pentecost. But the disciples had learned to put away all their childish behavior. And they came together in one accord. We need to come together in one accord. The Holy Spirit is waiting. He's waiting. He wants to give us the fullness, power. But he needs to have hearts that are ready to receive the power. When we talk about prayer, there are a few words that come into my mind that go with prayer. Prayer, and then there's watching, because the Bible talks about watching and praying. But there's another word also that comes into mind, which is fasting. Fasting. Now, there is fasting, and there is fasting that pleases God. That's the one that we want. The fasting that pleases God. You know, we went through a series about the Sabbath, 12 biblical principles for keeping Sabbath. And now I decided to start a series on fasting. Wednesday, was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. I went driving around town because it's interesting that I went through Medford and Central Point. And I went driving and taking pictures. You'd be surprised about the reaction. People look at you, a man with a tie taking pictures. Is he going to sue the place? What's the deal? Porters, eat, drink, and relax. You know, it's interesting to me that in the phone book, most cities have way more restaurants than they need. But they also have way more attorneys and physicians than they need. So I went around taking pictures because we are a culture that we love eating. By the way, that's my favorite. Up in Portland, that's the very first restaurant my wife, she just told me, had ever been in. I took her to, as when we were dating, to Olive Garden. Which is a good thing. She thought she was in a very expensive restaurant. So I went, some of you know this one. Our society in general, here in America, we have, shrines to the pizza gods, and we have temples to the arch. See Casa Flores. By the way, they have lard in their beans. The Colonel Sanders. I've never gone through this slide, by the way. They don't let me in this slide. You know, this is just here in town. I always chuckle when I go by there. Tasty thigh. Then we have the China Hut and the sushi. And if you get tired across of that, just go across here to the donut den. It's Tintin. I'll never eat there again. Because they had the chopped little octopus right next to the broccoli. And Quiznos, Subway. Now that's a favorite one. You go to your Pizza Hut, then you have your Papa Murphy's, and then Applebee's, and then I jump to Central Point. That's where I live, in Central Point, and you have Mexican cuisines. Then you have little shops there in the corner, Ma's Restaurant, okay? And then you have Deli Delights, and then this one, sorry, it's off center, but I was shooting while I was driving. Camera. We live in a society that really sometimes we even worship the food that we have. And fasting sort of seems out of place with all this. What does the Bible say about fasting? Well, you'd be surprised that Jesus, well, the New Testament, okay, the New Testament teaches more on fasting than on repentance and confession. And Jesus taught more on fasting than baptism and the Lord's Supper. So there's a lot to say about fasting. Now, when Jesus taught the disciples, he taught them that fasting needed to be accompanied by acts of righteousness, such as charity and prayer. Love and prayer. Because there's what's the purpose of fasting if you're going to be a grumpy faster? And you don't have love toward your brothers and sisters. Jesus also taught his disciples that whenever they fasted, they needed to fast for the right reasons, and they needed to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Very, very important what some of the things that Jesus was teaching. Now, a question that we're going to ask through this study, because throughout the study, this seminar, it's not a seminar, it's a series. I don't do seminars. I'm not famous enough to do seminars. I do a series here in church. But we're going to be going through Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And we're going to be considering what Jesus taught about fasting, but not just that regular fasting, but the fasting that pleases God. And in order for us to do that, we're going to have to answer a few questions, and the very first one is, should Christians fast today? I mean, is that something that Jesus just taught his disciples and they needed to do that back then? Should we today fast? Well, we need to look at the example of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Remember there in Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that's where Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness because he was going to be tempted of the devil. And there in that wilderness, Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days. Now, as he taught about fasting, okay, and the subject of fasting, there are certain things that he sort of assumed. He assumed that the disciples would fast. How do we know? Well, let's read this. Verse 16 of Matthew, it says, moreover, what's this word here? When. Notice that the Bible doesn't say moreover if. It says moreover when. And then verse 17 says, but you, then it says what again? When. He doesn't say if. Jesus is saying when you fast. So Jesus was teaching that the disciples were going to fast. So let's do this. Quickly review. Jesus fasted 40 days. His teaching, okay, on the subject, he assumed the disciples were going to fast. He said the disciples were going to fast. He sort of ordered them to fast. Now, Jesus taught the following. He taught how to fast to incur God's pleasure. Because I could assure you this morning, you could fast, and if you do it with the wrong motive, you will not incur God's pleasure, but his displeasure. Jesus also taught how to fast properly. And in this series, we'll get into that, when you need to fast. And there are certain times when you should not fast. It does not matter how great motives you have, but there are certain conditions that will not allow you to fast. Even if you do want to. How to fast properly. You need to fast only when it's appropriate. My toe hurts, I gotta fast. No. There are certain times when you don't need to fast. When is what we're going to be learning. There were times when prayer was joined with fasting. So all these things we're going to learn about. But that was just the introduction. In 2 weeks, we'll continue with the next segment of the fasting that pleases God. And during that time, we will answer the questions of, like the reporters, why, when, where, why we need to fast, when do we need to fast. And I want you to come. In 2 weeks, we'll continue with this. Now, the closing hymn, I need to tell you why I chose the closing hymn. Because at the beginning I mentioned to you that there are three words that go with that I see when we pray. There's fasting, and there, what was the other one? Watching. Learn these three words: praying, fasting, and watching. There'll be a test at the end of the series. Watch ye saints is why I chose, because as saints, and not saints in the Catholic sense, saints in the biblical sense, which means all of you are saints. We are all saints. Why? We're set aside. We're set apart for a holy purpose. Watch ye saints. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And because of that, we need to be praying, we need to be fasting, and we need to be watching. Shall we stand? Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is what Jesus spoke. Jesus' words. He said, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However," he says, "this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Let us pray. Father, thank you for this teaching in the Word of God. I pray that you may open our hearts, our minds to the fact that as your second coming approaches, that we need to be in prayer, that we need to be watching, and we need to be fasting. Be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath day. Help us to keep it holy according to your will and for your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.